Welcome back to another episode of the Lookout Podcast. I'm joined by Brett and Rogue, and we're talking Fire and Ice Hockey Tournament. Brett's with the Missoula City Fire Department, and Rogue's, of course, with the Wildlanders with me. If you guys all been following along, me and Rogue did a podcast last year talking about it, and this year, though, we got the cool city jersey, and then the trophies here, the JV's, the Pulaski, and then the varsity's, the cool-looking cup. So
the Steinle Cup.
The Steinle Cup. Oh, I didn't even read that. Yeah, look at that. That's beautiful. That is a good-looking trophy. I mean, I like them both, but that's real classy. It looks more like a hockey kind of trophy.
Yeah, and it's usable. The cup detaches.
It detaches? No. Oh, it's Velcroed.
It's a Stein, an actual Stein.
That is cool, man. They got the firefighter logo on the front there, hey? Was it Cross?
Maltese Cross.
Yeah, I was thinking so. I didn't want to mess it up. And then, Brett, you've been with the Fire and Ice hockey tournament since the beginning. Do you remember what year this started, kicked off?
It was 13 years ago, and the genesis of the idea is Chris Kovach and I were both from Great Falls, and the Great Falls Fire and the Great Falls Police used to have a game called Guns and Hoses, and it always kind of been in the back of my mind is like, oh, that'd be kind of cool if we could do that. And when I got hired, I was one of maybe three hockey players on the department. And
in Missoula here?
Yeah. And so we didn't have a lot of, there wasn't a lot that I could do with that. But by the time Chris got hired, we had more hockey players. And then hockey started becoming this new fad within the department. And it actually stuck. I mean, we've gotten up, you know, well over 20 players. And yeah, 13 years ago, we just had this idea. Well, let's play a charity hockey game. And, you know, it started as a bet between us and the rural, and it was a bet between the unions, and it was, I think, $500 bet. And whoever won, the loser had to donate $500 to the Seattle Stair Climb Leukemia Lymphoma Fundraiser. And we had it on a Sunday morning. It was cold. Sunday morning at like 10 a.m. It was cold and just on the outside rink, and we had like 400 people show up, and we're like, oh, this is interesting.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we might be able to make something of this. And then the next year we got it inside, and it was just the one game against the rural, and you know, like 600 people showed up, and I was like, this might be going somewhere, and it got some traction, and then it just progressively got bigger. And after about 5 years, we added the second game. And so we ended up having two games. And after that, I mean, it's packing the Glacier Ice Rink every time.
That is cool. I think I might have, like, came for the first game not knowing it when the Wildlanders came out. Were you in that first game, Rogue?
Yeah, I think when did we start playing in the JV game? The 2014?
I was about to say, yeah, 14 or 15. 14,
yeah,
they start to blend together.
Yeah. Is the first game on this sucker here? It was 2015.
Yeah, maybe it was 2015 then.
Yeah. Oh, no. So, yeah, I don't think I showed up until 17, so I missed a couple. Like, or no, maybe it was 16. Yeah, because I didn't start playing until 17.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think I knew some of the Lolo guys playing, so I came to check it out.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we had started. I knew Troy Dvorak and gave him a call, and I was like, yeah, I could probably put a team together. And this was, you know, after the Yarnell 19 kind of thing. And yeah, they put a game together, and we're like, okay, and then we'll do the city versus rural on the second game. And it's like, okay, it's a three-hour event. Are we going to be able to keep people there long enough? Are enough people going to be interested to sit through two fairly mediocre hockey games? And they both turned out to be good games, and it was a lot of fun, and it's only grown since then, and it's impressive. Yeah. It's standing room only the last, 7 years?
Yeah, since I've been involved, it's been pretty busy, pretty packed.
Man, it was my first time was like right after they kind of opened up everything from COVID. And do you guys remember that one? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was packed.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Holy cow, man. I couldn't believe it. And it still is packed, but that first one was nuts.
Yeah, we got lucky that 2020 year. It was the initial wave had kind of come through and restrictions had eased. And then we were talking with the rink, and they're like, yeah, I think we can do it. And then my lights and sirens, it was a first responders tournament that I'd been running, fell through like the week of when lockdown happened. So we got that lucky little window where we haven't missed a year on Fire and Ice. So it was pretty fortunate. But that was a big year.
Yeah, special event. Are you still doing the lights and sirens?
Haven't been able to find the time and the ice, and it haven't been able to find the dates because I want to get some wildland and everybody else. And by the time everything starts thawing, wildland starts kicking off, and everybody's like, okay, we got to start training for Swiftwater or, you know, whatever. And it's just never worked out. And I was looking to get it restarted again this year, but there's just no ice available. The rink is too packed.
It is, yeah, especially the college team. But that was a great one because I remember like Billings showed up, and did any other fire departments show up?
Oh yeah, no, we had Kootenai County, which is basically Coeur d'Alene, and we had Great Falls. And I had an idea to modify how the format is. So if you can only bring like 4 or 6 guys, we're gonna play in pods, and so if 6 Billings guys split up into teams of 3, you can put them with Kalispell or Idaho Falls or whoever, and you or the Cops, and that's your team all weekend. And that was kind of the original idea behind the tournament, is interdepartmental cooperation. And
it
fizzled, and I'd like to restart it at some point, but haven't quite gotten there yet.
Let me know. I'll get the word out, because that was a cool one. Did you get to play in that one, Rogue?
Yeah, it was a few years, I think.
Yeah, I had it
4 or 5 years ago at least. I think
we had it for, I think, 7 years, and just the ice is too much at a premium. And we always try and do it in the spring, and unfortunately, like state tournaments and everything, and there's not enough ice time, unfortunately.
Yeah, and which is a bummer, because like when I got to play, it was like you said, I mean, so many people had left for Burning and Region 8 that I was horrible. I was like the worst person on the ice out of any team. Yeah. But like I got to come hang, and it was a cool experience.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thought of, okay, if you got 8 guys, put 2 good guys on each team and 2 bad guys on each team, and that's your pod, and then you're skating with this other group of Cops or Ambulance or whoever, and that's your team all weekend, and you guys can bond and have fun and everything all weekend. But we're just trying to get it organized with the ice time, and it's not a big event, it's not a fundraiser or anything. We play it at cost, and unlike Fire on Ice, which is a fundraiser, and we raise a fair amount of money
last year was
in a night.
Yeah, it was really good last year. It was our best year yet.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, because I remember hearing the numbers from like you or CJ after. I think you texted out, and it was like, dang, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was right around City and Wildlanders combined. I think it was right around 18,000 we raised last year.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's our best year yet so far. I think once we got you guys in both games, I think the first year it was 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's been going up since. So, I mean, it's 100 and however many $1,000 since the origin of this game.
Yeah. Oh, it's nuts, man. It's awesome. And we're doing the Wildland Firefighter Foundation this year for us, right?
Yep. This year we'll be raising money for the foundation again. Last year we took a break. I shouldn't say a break, but last year we raised money for a Fallen Montana Wildland Firefighter Memorial at the trailhead of the M here in Missoula.
Very cool.
And we're getting to work on that right now. The plaque's been made. Got some contractors talking with those folks to get that built right there on campus. And we got some welders that are making some stuff that will be put there. And
cool.
We're hoping to get that finished by middle of April. And we'll kind of do a little bit of a dedication or a
like unveiling, like
an unveiling. So sweet. Try and get a hold of you for that.
Yeah, let me know, man. Yeah. I'll be there. That'd be great.
Yeah,
yeah. And then Brett, you I can't remember your other charity is the
this year we're doing the Missoula the Benevolent Fund. It's basically our general charity, so anybody that any organization that hey, could we get $500 for whatever. It's a general charity fund, so we don't have to have it specifically to anything, and anybody that approaches us for donation, we can just pull it out of there.
Yeah, I remember talking to your folks about it last year, after the JV game, and about the Benevolent Fund, and then talking to my friend Kyle, who was on the Billings Fire Department. They got the same thing, and because it's also like if you one of the fire folks gets injured or something happens, right, you guys can donate some money to them.
The way we have it set up, it's just a general charity fund. It's not specifically set up to, fallen firefighters or anything. It's just if we need to give support to someone or some cause, we can do that.
That's super with that cool. fund. So. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I like the idea that, like the money's there and available. I think that's snow coming off, but I don't know what that
is. Is that what that is?
Yeah, because I'm like, there's something inside my trailer that I'm not sure. It sounds like it's trying to get out. Oh, man. That first crash was pretty loud. I was like,
yeah, it was a little loud.
I thought maybe you're going to go through the floor, but it sounded like it was underneath you. But yeah, I think that's a great thing to do, man. And the foundation's kind of similar in that sense where, you know, it's more of a national thing where you put in the money and then it, you know, goes in this big fund to help out fire folks and goes to families and stuff too, like I'm sure you guys will do too, if you know families need it or something, right?
Yeah, it the fund or the benevolent fund is basically a source waiting for a cause.
Yeah. Oh, very cool, man. It's great to have it in case, you know, the worst happens. Unfortunately, it does happen from time to time. And I was going to say too, like, the way the fire and ice has kind of changed, and like at the heart of it, it's always, you know, the charity thing that we're talking about versus the lights and sirens, which maybe down the road we can get a charity, you know, to get wrapped around with the lights and sirens to help kind of support the initial, like.
Yeah. Lights and sirens, I always just wanted to run at cost. It's just a weekend to have fun and, you know, interact with cops or ambulance folks. It was never in my mind a fundraiser. It was just for us. Yeah. Whereas this is the fire and ice games are for a cause. Yeah. And that was because we had this, I was like, we don't need to raise any more for anything. True. You know, this is just for us to have a weekend and have a fun hockey tournament.
Totally. Yeah. Maybe just figure out how to maybe get the teams to pitch in or something, like, because like the Flying Mules, the people like, mm-hmm. kind of put in for that tournament. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they raise money for anything at the Mules tournament.
Or like for the cost of the ice, I was thinking, like, do each team buy into the tournament?
Just your entry fee.
I think it's $600-$700 per team.
Oh, dang.
Okay. Yeah, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I wonder if we'd maybe do something like that down there. Oh, we could spitball this later, but I really liked it because I only got to play it once, and then it was just the time of year was awesome because it was sunny, and, like, there's a few folks that were just, like, tailgating kind of. Not, like, really, but, like, sitting there tailgate, just hanging out, getting some sun in between games, and the Silver Slipper was running a bus in between.
That was always the intent, but the problem is it was just getting too late, and hockey's kind of done at this point, and now we're getting into kids volleyball or soccer or baseball.
Everyone's got kids,
our playoffs for league are done, and it was always later, and I was always trying to push it earlier and earlier, and then I started bumping into state hockey tournaments, and I could never find enough ice to get a tournament off.
Gotcha. Man, I kept thinking I was missing it. A great tournament. Yeah, maybe it'll come back. But I like you said, this one being centralized around fundraising is awesome. Like I don't think me and you touched on it last year, Rogue. Maybe we did briefly, but how our wild injuries were 1-19 for the Grand Mountain tragedy, which is super cool, you know, to show, you know, the never forget, you know, their sacrifice, which is awesome. And then and then, like, you guys, you know, with your charity stuff, too, and be able to give back to the community. And I think it's good for the community to come out and just see, like, your first responders, you know, like, and you get to see a face to it. And I like the idea of the JV and the varsity because you get to see, and it's kind of like a warm-up. People are, like, showing up, and a lot of people aren't really paying attention to the JV game as much because they're, like, just getting to know, you know, getting to see people that they haven't seen in a while, especially at that COVID game. Like, we're looking in the stands, and not that many people are actually paying attention to the game. They're more just, like, you know, stoked to see everybody, you know, it's like this cool reunion of fire folks. And
yeah. And the thing with the JV game that I think is kind of cool is, you know, you might get some person who's like, oh yeah, my friends have started playing hockey. And then they happen to come to this game and they're like, oh, these guys aren't very good either.
Yeah.
You know, I could do this and, you know, give them a couple of years and they get hooked on hockey. And that's, I guess part of the point too is get people hooked on hockey, get them to come out and just, you don't have to be someone that started when we were little kids to play hockey and love it. You can start later in life and still just have a great time.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And the JV definitely is that. Cause you know, like me, I started in 17, like I said, in the beginning. So I was, you know, I think I'm out in 30 at that point. I don't even know. So.
Yeah. I think a lot of, at least on, the Wildlander side, the JV team, a lot of those folks, as you know, all started kind of when they were adults, not when they were kids. So it's pretty cool to see guys learning how to skate or learning about the game. They get to play in the, you know, in the game. And then two, I think it's pretty cool that a lot of the players get to play in front of all the fans.
Yeah.
Because it gets pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it is.
In front of 1,200 people.
Pick up hockey as a 30-year-old, and then, oh, my God, we're playing in front of 1,000 people here.
Yeah, you know, like a small-town kid like me, I don't know if I've played in front of that many fans. Like, especially that first year I came out, I was like, holy cow, it's loud. And
yeah, it's a raucous crowd for sure. It's a lot of fun, even being on the ice. It's a little... We used to have more fans, but now that we have two Wildland teams, it's like we're the minority in the stands. It's a little unnerving, but it's still fun and loud.
The pre-show stuff, the anthem and the intros and stuff, man, it's so cool. I think Tanner Fruit did the anthem for us last year on the saxophone.
Yep, Tanner Fruit, I think, did the varsity game last year with the saxophone. Sadly, he's not going to be able to make it this year. He's going to be out of town, but we are going to have scheduled Patrick Legg. He's an LEO here from the Forest Service. He'll be singing the anthem for the varsity game.
Nice.
And then one of the players on the JV game, his daughter and her friend, will be doing the anthem. I think they did it last year. I can't remember.
Yeah. I remember because last year, 2 years ago. I think it was last year because I was trying to help Benji out with the mic stuff going on there.
Might need your help again.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'll help. Yeah, whatever you guys need. I don't know how much help I'll be, but I'm there to try to lend a hand.
It
worked out great, though. Those girls did a great job. Mm-hmm. It was super cool, man, and just gives it more of that family atmosphere for sure.
Yeah.
And, and CJ emceeing, it's awesome because, you know, I think if people are paying attention, he's making fun of everybody. You know, both sides, like, it's great, and maybe even a little bit more of the Wildlanders because he knows us a little more personally. Exactly. So.
That was kind of one of the things we were like, well, we don't want to just be in silence. And so let's get, you know, some ongoing running commentary while the game's being played. You don't have to have music going necessarily, but just someone who can crack a joke, you know, oh, hey, you remember that one time?
Yeah.
It might be a little inside, but, you know, if it's got a good punchline, everybody will laugh.
Totally, yeah, and CJ's so seasoned, so he does a good delivery, especially for like JV game where it's not as much action. So I get, like you said, it keeps people involved and into it, and just a little extra entertainment on top of it.
Yeah, CJ's been great the last couple of years.
Yeah, and he'll be back too.
Oh, awesome!
He'll be back doing both games, right?
Yeah, as far as I understand, yes, he's doing both games.
Oh, nice. So he'll be there to spice up both games, keep them exciting.
That'd be great. Because there for a while, he was only doing like the JV or something, right?
Yeah, it was one or the other that he was doing.
Oh, gotcha.
But, yeah, I look forward to having them be there. That's usually what I try and, you know, that's the reason why I collect all the bios from everybody, is so CJ can, you know, introduce to the fans, you know, who's who. And then I think he kind of gets a little bit of an idea of, you know, how to make a joke about somebody or...
Yeah, I got to tell him to spice mine up, dude. I was I was racking my brain, but I didn't want to, like, leave you hanging. I was like, dude, how am I going to make this better? Like, because last year, I said something that was, like, just kind of, you know... dumb little like comedy thing, you know, about like just walking around the woods with my gun in the fall as a hobby, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and it, you know, trying to make it like funny isn't like I'm a terrible hunter, but it just didn't really come off very good. So I'm gonna tell CJ to throw whatever he wants in there, man.
Yeah, he's good at that.
I think he knows too, the guys who can take it, like, you know, I think I whiffed on a puck last year, and like first thing I hear is CJ like just letting me have it, you know, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I think too with him is I can't remember what year was his first year, but he's learning the game too, so I like his style of doing it. So it's fun to have him there.
You can tell he really enjoys it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's perfect for it.
He is perfect for it, man. And then what's also cool is like the silent auction stuff, which I guess we didn't really cover yet. But how did that come to be? Was it?
I don't even remember what year it started, but it was fairly early and. I don't know, within the first couple of years, and it was always just, it's another way to raise funds is just, hey, bring in something you made or, you know, a booze basket or, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, I don't even remember the numbers the first couple of years, but I mean, since we got the Wildland guys involved and, you know, not everybody has a winter job, so let's go work in the wood shop or the metal shop, and they start bringing in some cool stuff, and it was like, this is actually driving a huge portion of the fundraiser.
And, yeah.
And it's pretty cool. We've seen some really cool items over the years.
Oh, yeah.
It's been impressive that shadow box.
That's what I was thinking last year. Yeah.
Oh, God, that was beautiful.
Incredible. Yeah, there was some really good artwork last year. I was like, oh,
yeah, man. I put a bid on, you know, before, because I was running around the first game before I had to get ready for the second game, and yeah. I was like, I'm going to put a bid on this. And then I went and looked up at the sheet after the game, and I was like, oh, yeah, that was...
Everybody was going for it.
Yeah, it went up really high. I don't even remember how much it went for, but it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, and there's a couple other pieces that are really good, too.
Yeah, and we get, like, one or two of those every year. It's pretty cool that, you know, people can showcase, you know, what they do outside of their job and their hobby. And there are a lot of guys that are really good at some of that stuff. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it's super. It's another like layer to it. There's so many layers to this game, which is super cool. And and the reason we brought up Silent Auction is CJ was telling a story on the last podcast we did together, and he was talking about how like there's a I can't remember what brand of shotgun it was, but it was, you know, it was a really nice shotgun brand, and it ended up being like some kind of like cheap replica or something.
Oh no.
And he had a runner. Yeah, he had a runner. He didn't really look at it. He just like took a glance, and then I don't know who that is, but hello. They're excited about it. It sounded like, so he had a runner going up and like putting bids for him, and then he got it home, and I don't think he checked till the next day, and it kind of fell apart.
Oh no!
But it was like it wasn't supposed to be like an actual gun, and it was more about the knife. There was some kind of story to it, but it was kind of funny story. How like he still got, you know, he's emceeing the games, but he still has a one ear in the silent auction room, you know, with one of his runners going up there. And, which is super cool.
I never heard that part.
Yeah, neither have I. I never get to go up there. I'm too busy.
That first game I'm running around.
Yeah.
Then it's just kind of like, oh, crap, got to go get dressed and get ready to play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so, yeah, we're talking about that, too, the games. Like you said, the JV game, and that, you know, kind of sparked my interest, too, because when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, man, there's no way. Like, because I kind of knew about U-Rogue and 4G and a few of these guys that had played and could play really good, and I knew I was not there, and... You know, I play with Jeff McEvers from Bitterroot in the Lights and Sirens tournament, and like all those guys are like, oh man, so much better than me. So then I just got to see the JV game, and there's guys that at the time were a little better than me, and now I'm like more at that level, and I was like, oh yeah, that's more of my speed. And then so I think that's what's cool is like you get this warm up game where people are like, oh yeah, like man, look at these guys in their 30s, you know, out there just, you know, messing around and having a good time. And then the varsity game comes on where you get a little bit more action and a little more organized. And that's an entertaining game, man. I like watching that. Like, I stick around usually longer to catch that game because it's so good. It was high scoring last year.
Yeah, 8-6. And then even in, the 10th annual one was 9-5.
Oh, they got the score on there, too?
Yeah, we got the scores put on there. And
and that's... You know, one of the things with the game, we put the rules in place from the onset of, you know, nobody can score more than two goals.
Yeah.
And it keeps it from getting a runaway where, you know, someone gets a hot hand, they could pump in four or five goals, and, you know, all of a sudden it's a 10-2 game. And that was never the intent. And, you know, every penalty is a penalty shot. So, I mean, just your stick gets caught in someone's skates, you're giving up a penalty shot. And I mean, that could easily be a goal. And it keeps every game close. There have not really been blowouts, and every game is tight, and it's just a break here or there that makes a difference. And that's part of the, I think part of the thing that makes it fun is that it's not, you know, watching a blowout. It's back and forth.
And everyone loves, you know, like a shootout kind of opportunity, you know. So, a penalty shot.
It goes silent in the ring. It's great.
Yes. Yeah, even the JV games. I think people are like, how's this guy going to be able to handle it, you know? And I think it was like Niles. He like just lasered one in from way out for a couple of years ago. And he was like, man, I guess that's one way to do it, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so that was super. And that was when Jonah was sick. So I remember he like pointed at the camera, and it was just super cool.
Yeah.
And, like you said, but it's better because especially in the JV game, if one team goes on a power play, it might slow things down a little bit action wise. But
yeah, and a lot of them, you know, this might be their first or second year skating. They wouldn't know how to work a power play or a penalty kill. So exactly. It's just like, hey, let's just do a quick penalty shot, stop the game, start back up again, and maybe you got it closer or opened a lead. It's a lot quicker, cleaner, and keeps the flow of the game going.
Yeah.
And that way, nobody has to, you know, make sure they know how to play a box on the penalty kill or an umbrella plus one, or, you know, it just keeps it going. And
yeah, you lost me an umbrella, but
I
picture the box.
It's a hockey term.
Yeah. I was like, I've seen the box, I think, at work. But yeah, like you said, it keeps the energy in the building, you know?
Yeah, it's a quick stop and start. And I mean, it could be a goal or a huge save just right there, and then start back up again.
Yeah, and I've only been in a handful of stadiums, you know, like mostly, you know, like the pro stadiums, like Calgary Flames, and then I was down and watched the Phoenix Coyotes, and they're pretty cool. But like with the Glacier Ice Rink, because it is like a small venue, it's really intimate. So it's like, if I don't get a locker room before you guys start, even like warm ups, I mean, you can hear that puck just hammering the boards, and I think that really brings people into that varsity game, because like you guys are putting some heat behind the puck, and because used to like guys like me just trying to like push it into the goal, you know, and then some guys are actually getting some flex out of their stick, like you guys, you know, been playing for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it comes with playing it for so long, and
all kind of second nature, I guess.
Yeah, but it brings people's attention, I think. You know, they go from like the varsity or the JV game where you got me just like, you know, trying to stand my skates and just whacking at it and like not getting any like real power behind the puck, and then
and then someone cranking a clapper in warm-ups and ringing it off the glass.
Yeah, I'll be like, whoa, all right, this is a different. Yeah, we're stepping up a little bit. So I think, you know, especially like you said, for the folks who maybe just have a friend who just started playing and they're gonna play it this year and haven't followed much hockey, so they see the JV game, they're probably expecting something similar in the second game, and all of a sudden it's just like, whoa, all right, this is already different just in warm-ups, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing everybody skate around and the speed that's behind it, and that's what's really cool, too, is the speed elevation from the first to the second game.
It probably looks a lot faster than it really is when you go from the JV to the varsity game.
Some of us are getting old.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the varsity game's all that fast, but I know what you're saying.
I definitely slowed down the JV game for us, so I think I'm, you know, judging off my speed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's kind of nice to get to see the difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, even the varsity game, I mean, it's not the whole team are me and Rogues. It's you know, varying levels within that, but it's generally guys that have been skating longer, you know, or skated as kids and then picked it up again when they were a little older.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the beauty of the JV game is we've had guys that was pretty much like their first game, or, you know, they maybe played league for 6 weeks and then all of a sudden, holy crap, now I got a real game with buttload of people in the stands.
Yeah.
it just kind of shows that you don't have to play hockey your whole life to enjoy it. You can pick it up in your 30s and 20s and still have fun, and you can get better.
Yeah, and the longevity of the game, I remember, I think it was Spring League maybe, or someone playing in an upper league. I think it was just filling in maybe. I want to say it was winter, but maybe it was like early on in the spring because it was still cold outside, and I remember we just got destroyed by this team, and super smooth. I heard like maybe one of these guys had played up in the NHL or some other higher league, or maybe a couple of them did. We got off the ice, and a lot of these guys were having trouble walking, and they were old. They were like all these old dudes that just kicked the piss out of us. But they were so smooth, like, you know, they were avoiding hits and stuff and just like, and having a great time. And I was like, and it was a cool eye-opener for me, because I was like, yeah, I think I can do this for a long time then, you know, because like I hadn't been playing that long, and then seeing these guys still playing it, it's for me, it's like the other sport for me would be basketball, because I grew up playing basketball, and it's just a little harder on the joints and harder to keep up. Yeah. And it's I feel like it's sometimes harder to avoid a collision in basketball, where like in hockey, like these older guys who've been playing forever, they could avoid, you know, someone like me who's got no brakes and, you know, just keep cruising, you know?
Yeah, no, my dad was, I don't remember how old I was. I was maybe a teenager in my 20s, and he was just like, I'm so glad you learned to play hockey, because I was a wrestler, and you don't see me going out with the guys to roll around on the mat in my 30s and 40s. No, but in your 30s and 40s, you can definitely go out and skate. And there was a guy in Great Falls, God, he was in his 70s, and he was playing in some pickup stuff, and you know, he wouldn't do much. He just kind of cruises the boards between the blue lines and get a pass it off, and usually right to someone's stick. And it was like, God, yeah, you can still do this later in your life. And
absolutely.
And yeah, it doesn't, like basketball or wrestling, it's not hard on your joint. Not as hard.
Yeah, not as hard. Yeah. Yeah, because you don't see it. I mean, like, even the game I was watching tonight, the NFL, you know, I think, you know, one guy blew his knee out, and, you know, all these ankle injuries and things that happen from, like, football, you know, or, you know, if you, like you said, if you're watching basketball, it's usually a knee injury. And but, like, with hockey, unless it's some kind of impact, it doesn't seem like it's, you don't really see anyone get a knee injury. I mean, most of the time with the pros, like, they took a stick to the face or a puck or something, so they have to go get stitched up and come back out. Like, you don't see the big injuries unless, or concussion, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I mean, there are always kind of those one-offs where they catch an edge and twist their knee and, you know, but yeah. Injuries happen. It's, you know, it's a contact sport.
Yeah.
Contact sport.
Well, yeah. Most of contact is me putting myself on the boards, but also, like, that's, you know, that's a, for me, it was like a good, like, indicator of, like, oh, these pads are really good. You know, like, they were great. Cause I was used to, like, you know, playing a little pond hockey and slamming off the ice with, like, no elbow pad. And that, you guys know how that feels. Like, feels terrible.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
Like, electric feeling to your fingertips.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and then so finally having elbow pads and some decent gear, I was like, oh, this isn't bad at all. You know,
no.
Yard sale, I have to go, you know, gather my gloves and stick. But other than that, I mean, it's not so
right.
bad. Yeah. I'm always good for one of those or two a season.
Yeah, no, better gear, definitely. I remember I was still playing, and I was in college, and I was playing with crappy elbow pads. I got taken out and just popped my bursa sack. My elbow was like, it was like I was smuggling a baseball.
Oh,
it was, and I was like, oh, this is painful, and got some better elbow pads. And yeah, it kind of is more of like a freak accident if someone blows a knee or blows a shoulder, it you know, or, you know, a random collision. But
yeah,
for the most part, skating is not that hard on your body.
Yeah. And then in probably most places ever, like with us here in Missoula, we have the hang loose, right?
Yep.
And yep. So I mean, like, those are a little more chill leagues, as I've been told. I haven't played in them, but like,
I think they still get pretty competitive, no matter
really?
What
yeah.
age. Yeah,
hang A can be a little feisty.
And that's the top red, hang A, B, and C?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually played against each other last week.
You guys, eh?
2 weeks ago?
Last week, yeah.
Yeah. In hang A?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. I didn't know. So you got to be over 35 to play in hang loose?
Over 35.
Yeah, or turning 35 during the year.
Oh, nice.
So.
Yeah, been trying to work my way to hang loose B because I, you know, I heard it's a kind of a little better atmosphere versus like intermediate. So.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I want to go that route.
Yeah, there's probably a few folks you know that play in hang B.
Yep. Octavarus, Enrique.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else is on that team.
Yaro and TK, Quigley. Yeah. I think Atkinson plays.
Yeah, cool.
Healy. Yeah, a lot of the guys that'll be playing in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, shoot, boys, I don't want to keep you all night here. But, I guess shout out to some of the sponsors and wrap this thing up, unless you guys got anything else you want to share. But I guess the date of the tournament.
Yeah, date of the game, January 31st. It's a Friday this year. We decided to move it up a week, but I think in the future we'll kind of go back to that, what is it, usually a week before the Super Bowl?
First weekend in February, January.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a
small mix up.
Scheduling conflict at the ice.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, but Big Sky Beer. What is it?
Missoula Motors.
Missoula Motor Company, Missoula
Big Sky
Chevy.
Brewing is donating beverages again.
Awesome. Yep, adult beverage or beer. And then
you guys are running the beer garden again this year?
Yes.
Volunteers from the Missoula City, right?
Voluntolds.
Voluntolds. Yeah. They'll come enjoy the game.
There's always new guys that we can harass into helping.
Yeah, so. I was thinking I was a little bit last year. Yeah, good group.
Yeah, and then we'll have, we'll have Chuck-a-Puck again, awesome. And then I think we'll have the 50-50 raffle.
Chuck-a-Puck.
Yep, and then the silent auction.
Oh, great, yeah.
Sadly, we won't be doing the, what was that card game called? The liquor
bottle
card game?
Bottle swap or bottle exchange or something. Yeah, our organizer that had put that together, he's no longer with the department, and so we talked about trying to start it again, but I don't think any of us had the contacts and the time to organize it in time, so it might show up, but I don't think I have enough time to organize it. So
yeah, no. Yeah. We got starting to get into crunch time here. Doing podcasts and did an interview with the paper last week.
Last week, yeah.
And then we'll do a few more TV interviews and radio. So,
oh, nice.
Crunch time.
Yeah, we're good. Well, I appreciate you guys taking time to come hang out with me. Like you said, January 31st. And then Forster's Ball is going on the same night, but I think if you work your time right, I think you probably hit both.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the games are only about an hour long, so yeah. The second game usually starts right around 7:30. So you'll be out of there by 8:30.
Oh, yeah, prime time to make the ball if you want to.
Come on down.
Make a heck of a night out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet.
Yeah. But don't root for the Wildlanders. Go for the Bomberos.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shoot. One last thing, I guess. Did we figure out who's got the most wins yet? Like,
I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, but I wasn't sure. Well, because like historically, you guys started out just like.
Yeah, we had when we started out with the rural and just one game, it was pretty even-handed. I mean, it's always been even-handed, both games, and very few blowouts. But we just, since we've been doing the two games against the Wildland, our varsity team has not quite gotten the win.
Nope, maybe this year.
Maybe this year. That's what you say every year.
what you guys say.
It's always been like a point, hasn't it? Just like a
last few years. Honestly, last year I thought we had them. We had a 2-goal lead.
Yep.
With like 5 or 6 minutes left and gave up 2 goals and then they got another one or a penalty shot and an empty netter. And so we went from. What was it?
8-6. We beat you guys.
So I think it was 6-4 with like 6 or 7 minutes left in the game, and
I was getting nervous.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I was getting confident. I was like, "Yeah, we got this finally." And then,
Snuck up on you.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. I remember like I was trying to switch over to the structured fire world, and CJ was like, "Are you good at hockey?" And I was like, "I play a little pond hockey." He's like, "Put it on your resume."
Yeah.
To come out of Missoula City.
We don't look at that officially.
Yeah. It can't hurt, right?
It can't.
It's a great game, and I'm so lucky to be a part of it. I'm glad that we're doing it, and appreciate you guys putting it on.
Yeah, no, it's been a great experience, and it's been fun every year. It's a lot of work, but it's
totally worth it.
The payoff is worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the community likes it too, because what's going on in January, like besides the Super Bowl, like you're saying, well, February. When's Super Bowl this year? End of January, February?
February.
No idea.
6th or something.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, it's all a blur this time of year. But like the reason to get off your couch and go out, is something in January is like this in the Forester's Ball. So.
Yeah, and it's a free event. It's no admission. You can just come by the rink. Come by early because it gets filled up pretty quick, but it's not like we're charging $15 a pop or $50 for a family. It's a free event. It's great.
And what's great about the two games, like you said, what times the JV start again, really?
6 p.m.
6 p.m. for the JV.
Yep, 6 sharp.
Yeah, so even if you got some like younger kiddos, you go come hang out for that, maybe catch a little bit of varsity game, and like still have time to go home and grab some dinner and get the kiddos down if you want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean the rink's been more than accommodating to us over the years. Concession stands are open, and I mean
they've been great.
They've had public skates going on the outside in the past, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean it's a family friendly event, free admission. Looking to kill a couple hours with your kids. It's a good time.
Come watch a couple hockey games.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, fellas. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
thanks for coming on to our show.
Yeah, right.
Anytime, fellas. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in, folks.
Oh, that's it, hey, boys.
Cool.
Oh, that was good. 40 minutes long.